Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're going to talk about the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy this morning. Mike Harvey is here with us this morning, back with us. Mike, good to have you here.
Thanks for having us again, Ted.
And we have Ed Evers is back. I guess, Ed, you were the first executive director of the...
That's correct.
And also one of the hosts of this show just a few years ago. So you're back in the studio.
It's funny, sitting on this side of the desk. I'm used to sitting on the other side.
You did that for a long time. You were kind of
several years as the relief host.
Yeah. So welcome back. It's good. It's good to have you back here on Mimosa Street.
Well, thank you. So glad to be here.
This Saturday, the Academy, the 40th annual 30th anniversary block party, Mike, takes place. Place and this has happened now for a few years, just really a chance for the community to come in, see what you do, and take a look at things.
Sure, absolutely. It's so important for us to bring the community in to see exactly what it is that we do as a police training academy. And so we started this 3 years ago as a way for the community to come in, see what happens at the academy, and have a community yard sale, community vendors, that type of thing come in and sell some things. So it's a really good event. We've seen a lot of growth over the past 3 years. And, of course, this year is a really big one because in addition to the community day, we're also celebrating the Academy's 40th anniversary. So it's a pretty huge deal this year.
Ed, did you ever 40 years? That's a long time.
It sure is. Sure is. You know, for me to see the Academy still flourish after 40 years, it's really makes me feel super good inside.
I wondered if that did. Over the years, as things happen, and to look at the people that have come through there has to just make you feel really proud.
It does. It does. You know, when I left, we had 63 agencies, and out of those, there were 26 or 27 of the agencies that were led, either chiefs or sheriffs, by people I put through rookie school. It's quite an accomplishment. It feels so good. Really does.
Yeah. Well, when you go back, I mean, you just must and to see just the changes and the moving forward it continues to grow.
Well, it's the old story of the one-room schoolhouse, and now it's a major facility, and it's gone great.
Take us back 40 years, or you know what? How did the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy come into being?
Well, originally I was a New York State trooper, and I blew my knee out in an accident, and got ready to enter the second phase of my life. And my former mother-in-law found an ad in a paper for the wanted academy director, minimum of 10 years of police experience and 5 years of instructional, and I had both. And I flew down to Washington, and I interviewed for the Futures Commodity Exchange Commission. And I didn't like it. And I said, well, I better follow up on this academy thing. And lo and behold, I called the city, and they said, well, we have a blind post office box as we didn't want to get a bunch of phone calls. And I wound up tracking down a lieutenant here in Fredericksburg who was a rather arrogant kind of guy. It gave me a little bit of a hard time. You know, how'd you find me? And we put a blind P.O. box as we didn't want to get a bunch of phone calls. Long story short, I met him the next day for coffee at 10 o'clock. They invited me for lunch. I left my resume, and I had a call back about 3 weeks later, and I came in for the full interview. And they said, we're ready to start the academy now. You mean you don't have one already? No. We want you to form it. So I got a chance to put the academy together from scratch, right from day one. The board was, they asked me if I'm bringing my smart aleck Yankee ways down here to train the officers. And I said, no, the responsibilities are pretty much the same as an officer, whether you're working the rural area, the urban areas, whatever. The responsibilities are pretty much the same. just the way you handle your responsibilities will vary by the area you represent. And they ultimately they said, okay, take over. You've got it. So I said, well, where's my office? Well, we have to get one for you. So they had an office in the basement of the old Princess Anne Hotel, which is now where Davenport is. And I had classrooms in the basement of the police department, which is now part of the court system. And that's where we got our start. And I ran from there to the FMC plant because the Spotsylvania County had purchased the FMC plant. And they didn't want it to look like it was a kind of a white elephant for the taxpayers. They said, we need to put somebody there. And they offered me rent free as long as I took care of the utilities and kept the building up. I stayed there about 3 years. And then the same thing came about with Maury School. And I was invited to move to Maury School. I stayed at Maury School for about 8 years. Same arrangement I had with the county. Just we didn't pay rent. We just paid for utilities. And I had the availability of the gym with offices. I had plenty of extra rooms to use for performance testing. And it worked out very nicely. And it got to a point I needed a new facility. And it was a city councilman at that point, Sidney Armstrong, who had made a comment about, we have nobody in Maury School. We've got to do something with it. The building is just deteriorating. And I used that as my catalyst for the board of directors to authorize me to purchase the property, which is where the academy is now. I was able to buy the property there and built the first building. And then gradually, as time went on, we expanded to put the second building in and put a driver training facility. And it just worked out very nicely.
Boy, to build it from the ground up, to a lot of people, that would be really daunting. But with your personality and how you do things,
well, thank you.
You were the perfect person for this.
Well, thank you. I know when I met with the original board, I interviewed them, and they gave me kind of a funny look. Well, you're interviewing me. Well, yeah, this is a new venture. I've got to be as happy with you as you are with me. And if we're both happy at what we do, it can be a success. And I went on, and one of the attitudes that I had, training is like medicine to make you better. And the more medicine you get in your system, the better you are. And if you think about it, who benefits from that? Well, you benefit because you're a safer officer. I benefit because I provided that training. The chiefs and sheriffs that you work for benefit because you're a better representative of the agency. And the population benefits because you're providing more professional and proficient law enforcement services. Everybody wins.
Yeah.
And that was my attitude for my first 30 years.
Boy, and the academy itself, to have the academy here, Mike and I always talk about this, of just how fortunate we are in this area to have the academy, you know, right there in Spotsylvania.
You know, before that, the officers had to go either to Northern Virginia or Richmond for training. And many times the officers would stay overnight if they had to go somewhere else. And most of our jurisdictions had a small enough complement of professional law enforcement that they liked the idea of having these officers back in their hometown at night should they have an emergency and need to call out people. They didn't have to worry about somebody in a hotel somewhere over in the Shenandoah Valley or down south of Richmond or up in Northern Virginia. And it was to their benefit to have the training localized.
Ed Evers and Mike Harvey here, Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy, our focus. Ed, the original director for the academy when it was founded 40 years ago. Mike Harvey is the executive director right now. We're talking about the academy and this weekend's 40th anniversary block party. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
What a treat this morning. We're talking about 40 years of the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy. Ed Evers here, Mike Harvey here. Boy, Mike, when we were just talking with Ed just a few minutes ago, just talking about the history and all, what a resource he is for you.
Oh, he really is. You know, it's great. Whenever I have a question, he's always there. I can you know, go back in history, whether it's specific about our academy or our funding structure through Virginia Department of Criminal Justice Services, how the academies were formed. You know, it's just really nice to have know that Ed is there, and all I have to do is pick up the phone and occasionally buy him lunch to get the good history and the information that I need to make sure the academy keeps going in the direction.
I'm just a cheap date.
You are. You are a very cheap date.
Well, and I can see where the two of you really work together, because I mean, Mike, you've been in this area for a while and had law enforcement roots in this area. And when you got this job, I thought, boy, this is just perfect. And the two of you, it really would work. I can see would work well together.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've been here over 20 years now. You know, when I first came here, I didn't go through rookie school, as Ed calls it here. I went through rookie school in Salem, where I got my start. But I came here, and of course, Ed was the director at the academy, and I've always been really big into training. So as soon as I came into the area and started working with Spotsylvania, I got to know Director Evers back in the day, and took a lot of classes at the academy and was very impressed with what I saw there. And so it was just a natural progression from the Spotsylvania Sheriff's Office to taking over at the academy.
It's so many people I've talked to that I know in law enforcement that went through the academy just talk about how they really grew up professionally because of what you built there and what goes on at the academy.
We call it a family. I think every function that I've had at the academy, I've referred to it as a family reunion. And Mike fits in really well with with that family spirit. Having been here as an officer, he got to witness how I ran the academy, and it wasn't a big city operation. My belief is that we work very closely with all of the agencies, with the chiefs and the sheriffs. They need face time, not a bunch of memos, and that does work very nicely with all of the leaders. We don't have any good old boys anymore. We have professional law enforcement, and I'd like to say I think I was probably a part of that growth in my first 30 years, bringing in a professional, like a Charlie Jett, like a number of the chiefs and sheriffs that we brought through from basic school up through their current tour as a chief or a sheriff. One of the young ladies at the 40th dinner that we had here a few weeks ago pulled me aside. She said, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. So she's now the police chief in the town of Warsaw. And she came up and gave me a hug, and she said, I need to thank you. Why do you need to thank me? She said, I was going to quit law enforcement because one of the exercises in the old PR-24, it's a T-bar kind of baton, was very vicious. She said, I was ready to quit. And she said, you pulled me in your office, and you gave me a fatherly talk about what it's like in law enforcement and not to give up. And she said, here I am. I'm a chief of police today. She said, if it wasn't for the way you nurtured me and pushed me along, I would have quit. When you hear stories like that, boy, does that make me feel awfully good.
Yeah.
It really does, to be a part of it. I do have a lot of get out of jail free cards, however, with so many chiefs and sheriffs that came through. But, of course, I don't push it. I drive within the limits, and I do the right things. But it sure is nice. Different places I'll go, I'll run into an officer that came through the base. Remember me? I was in basic number 9, and I put over 100 classes through. And you get these guys that are reaching way back to say, you know, you made a difference. Bob Mosier, the sheriff up in Fauquier, he's one that came through as a rookie and has been very outward in his thanks of getting him started.
Well, and that really doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, that really has always been your approach, to be very approachable and to want to help people.
I came back a lot of nights to do paperwork because I had an open door during the day. And a lot of times I didn't get much done because my door was open and I had a constant barrage of officers coming in and out, phone calls. I did get out and around. I still like to do things in the community as well. And I think that's all part of it, part of the success. And Mike has picked it up. Mike is doing a really good job at it as well. And that makes me feel good that it's lasting.
Well, I can remember years ago when I first met you that I think that you really approached me and wanted to come in and talk about the academy. And I was thrilled that you wanted to, because a lot of times a place like the Academy, it's more closed off, and you know there's not the feel, you know, the need to talk about what we do. But you know, you always were very approachable and wanted to come in and talk about what was going on.
Thank you. I believe the community is an integral part of police training. It's not a matter of the police officers that don't meet with the community. They're just out there to knock heads and make arrests. There's a lot to do as far as the community participation in law enforcement. Law enforcement cannot do it alone. They need the support of the community. And the more we can foster that relationship between the police and the community, the more success we'll enjoy and the safer communities we can provide.
And I think you take a look at so many people that have come through and dealt with the Academy, the Charlie Jets and others have you know, wanted to work with and you know, tell their stories with the local media and things like that. And I think that again comes back to you and just the way, you know, some of their training.
Some of the things that we introduced, this community program, when it first came in, conflict resolution, crisis management, dealing more closely with the community. Some of the old school officers did not want to hear that touchy-feely type of law enforcement. And I was greeted with a little bit of hesitation from a number of the officers that didn't want to go through. But once they saw how successful those techniques were, wait a minute, we don't have to get on the ground and you know, teeth, hair, and eyeballs and wrestling people. And we can talk to people. Yes. And it did make a big difference. And the cooperation of the officers really made it worthwhile for all of us.
Ed Evers here, Mike Harvey here, as we talk about 40 years at the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy. Do you remember when you first met Ed, Mike?
Boy, when I first met Ed, you know, I think it was I was coming through my initial general instructor class. And, of course, Ed comes up and introduces the class. And I'm thinking, yeah, this is kind of a character. He's kind of loud and gregarious, but, you know, seems like a good guy. And, you know, since then, I didn't really talk to Ed a lot as an officer, but certainly I knew who he was. And whenever you went to the Academy, you'd see him in the halls, you'd see him in the classrooms. He was always interacting, always buying people lunches. So, you know, he was always a presence.
And I would sell answers on the test for chocolate. I befriended myself with the various rookie classes. I'd say, you know, if you want answers on a test, is why I'm here. And for chocolate, I'll give you answers. And I would give them C, false, and all of the above. Well, what are the questions? I said, well, I can't give you the questions, but I'll give you the answers.
Well, that's an interesting approach to it, but it worked.
It worked, definitely. I had a lot of chocolate.
And you gave a lot of answers.
I did.
Has the training, I guess the training has changed a lot over the years.
I think it has, particularly with the invention of the multimedia stuff, the cell phones, communications. One of the college classes I took many years ago is the seven ills of social change. And we looked at various areas in society, churches, schools, families, and look at the difference, the way things were when I was growing up and the way things are today. And you can attribute a lot of crime to the changes that we've had. For example, if you look at families, back when I was growing up, I had a stay-at-home mom, and I had someone right there when I got off the, you know, when I came home. Yeah. Today, many times, if you have a two-parent household, both parents are working just to make ends meet, and many times you have a single-parent household. So the kids are left pretty much to their own. And, of course, with social media being what it is, constant media, you're getting news reports of what's happening around the world. Schools are not doing the same. I went to a Catholic school. I was paddled regularly, as you might imagine. I was kind of a bad guy from time to time.
But you may have talked a little bit.
But I talked a little bit. But today, you know, the teachers can't take the some of the steps today. I think even churches today are different. They're more meeting the needs of those that show up in church. They're not doing the outreach like they used to. So I think you got a lot of changes today. And law enforcement, in order to stay progressive and stay professional, they need to do that same thing. They need to move ahead.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're talking Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy, 40 years old, and the Academy's 40th anniversary block party is this Saturday from 9 to 1 at the Regional Criminal Justice Academy on Lee Hill Drive in the Lee Hill Industrial Park. We're going to talk more about that. Mike Harvey here, Ed Evers here. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:29.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shoup.
We are talking Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy this morning. Mike Harvey is here, the director of the academy, and Ed Evers, who was the first director. So if the academy's 40 years old, Ed, you must have been about 5 years old when you took over.
Well, how about 35? Now, I retired. I joined the New York State Police at age 25, and I blew up my knee in an accident. Nothing heroic. Just fell on the ice, and they pushed me out to retire. And it's a scary thing at 35 years old with one child and another one on the way to try to find something. And that's why this was so important to be able to stay within the criminal justice field. It made all the difference in the world. A whole change in geographical information. It's a little different here than it was in upstate New York up in the Adirondacks.
Oh, I bet.
It's a whole lot different. And totally happy with everything. It really has. It's been great. And then to see it continue on and flourish means the world.
Well, and just the whenever I go over there or I'm around there and see the different police cars from the various agencies, whether, you know, it's from the, you know, I always used to think it's just from around here, but you know, you've got police cars from the Northern Neck all over, you know, Fauquier and all over the area in the region. It's an important place.
Well, I used to say that when you have a good training product, people are climbing to get to be with you and be a part of you. What we did back then, I started with 16 departments, and I had about 250 officers that I had responsibility for. When I left, I had 63 agencies and about 3,500 officers. Mm. But by taking on the departments, since a lot of the finances were provided by the local governing bodies, and I campaigned for state funds as well, by taking on new agencies, they added to my manpower. They also added to my budget, which meant I needed less money from the jurisdictions because I was entertaining new agencies coming in. So I went several years in a row, I think six or seven, that I didn't have any raise in what their dues was. I was able to sustain the growth in the budget by bringing in new agencies.
Yeah.
And that's what picked us up. And then when I had a call from the agencies up in Front Royal area, they were disgruntled with their current academy. And I provided them a budget. And they said, well, would you operate a satellite operation up here for us? And I said, listen, it would not be ethical for me to agree to put a satellite. I said, you're a part of another academy. And I said, ethically, I just can't do that. So about a couple of weeks later, they called and said, well, we are going to leave our other academy. What do we do? I said, well, send me the particular correspondence. And long story short, we wound up putting a satellite in Front Royal. And then several years later, we bought the building in Middletown. And they have now gone on their own. We put the organization together well enough that now they are running their own training academy. They've made another official regional and pulled away. But I've noticed that the academy today, I know Mike's got a lot of activity going on. The parking lot is jammed. So didn't lose anything by helping another academy get underway.
Yeah, no, and I can see you doing that and wanting to do that. Just for people's knowledge, the academy has a set of it's like going to school, and then the officers that are receiving training, they also are receiving training from their own agency.
That's correct. You have the state mandates a certain series of objectives to complete within the first year, and the departments now are very professionalized. They normally will have their own requirements within the agency, and will assign an officer to a field training officer to help them through the hoops for a certain amount of time until they're ultimately released to work on their own. There's a lot of protection for the officers. It's good for the community, and it's good for the officer's safety as well. And the departments then know that the officers are going to do 100%. What we've noticed at the academy, and Mike has probably got the same thing going, when we develop that good relationship between the academy and the agencies and the training officers, if we see something in training that is detrimental to the success of that officer or to the agency, we have contacts back at the agency. We can notify them immediately. I'm having a problem with this officer, Ted Schubel. Something is just not right. He's coming on too strong, too aggressive, or whatever the situation is. And the particular chief or sheriff will usually send either themselves or one of their chief training people down to interview us and look at that officer. So hopefully the academy is not putting officers that are coming up a tad short on the street.
Yeah. I never thought of that, Mike, that is part of it. It's not as though that you come and I never thought about that side of it, of analyzing and seeing where there might be some deficiencies with. I'm sure you run into that all the time.
It's not a rubber stamp.
Absolutely. Yeah. We, we look at the officers, and it's not just a checkbox. It's not you know how to pass a test question or pass a practical test. But we look at the officer as a whole. And as Ed said, if the officer's coming in and they're just way too aggressive, or maybe we notice that they're coming in and they're freezing in a situation where they need to be reacting. On either side, you know, even if they have technically passed that block of instruction, there's still concerns there. And that's where we reach out to the agency and say, look, yes, they've technically passed, but we have some concerns as to how this officer is going to be for your community. And then they will send somebody down. That person will observe the training, they'll talk to us, and we'll make a decision as to how best to remediate that officer. This is a lot like, you know, somebody going through a very tough college course. Yeah. You know, unfortunately, not everyone makes it. And on average, every class we will lose one or two recruits. Some of them of their own volition, which I think is a good thing to learn in the training environment. Hey, I'm not cut out to be in law enforcement. Sure. And get out before they go out and get somebody in their communities hurt. Or they just don't have the aptitude for it, and they fail the testing along the way. So there's a lot of steps to make sure who we are putting back out in the communities are good officers who are going to interact with the communities in the way that our citizens deserve to be treated.
Well, and the technology that you have, I've seen just some of the machines, and you really are able to test officers in a lot of different ways and see how they'll react.
Well, you know, I got really lucky coming into the academy when I did, because, you know, like we've been talking about, Ed set up the infrastructure. The buildings were there, the track was there, everything was good to go. So I had to build on that, and I was very lucky in that I was able to secure a lot of different grants along the way since I've been here to bring in a state-of-the-art use of force simulator to where the officers can use every tool at their disposal to include their mouths to de-escalate situations. And that's the goal of that whole situation, is how to de-escalate and go from having a handgun out all the way down to talking someone into handcuffs and using every level of force in between. We recently just bought a driving simulator because one of the biggest ways that officers die in a line of duty is through traffic crashes. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we have officers who do die in traffic crashes locally. So we are able to put them on a simulator and have them drive in situations that we could not do safely in real life, you know, so they can, you know, drive in the pursuits. They can practice stopping cars that are trying to flee from us and thus protect their communities in a very safe, controlled environment, so they can understand the mechanics, so they can understand truly the limits of their car without having to put themselves or somebody else in danger to figure that out. And then the biggest piece is we've recently gone paperless. Before Ed left, a typical class would graduate with 2 3-inch three-ring binders worth of material. It was close to 1,000 pages worth of notes that they would take. So that gets expensive, printing costs, paper costs, notebook costs.
Yeah.
So we've gone tablets for all of our recruits, and they can do everything electronically, which not only helps especially our newer generation of recruits who are used to doing everything electronically, but then it also keeps our costs down so that we can then pass that cost savings on to our localities.
How many weeks is typical training when a rookie officer comes in?
Sure. So we're going up to almost 20 weeks now. Our first academy back in 1978 in July, or sorry, the law enforcement academy was October of 1978, was 4 weeks. So we've come a long way from the first class that Ed put together. And, you know, one of the things Ed was talking about, the numbers. We put the numbers together for our 40th. And since Ed has opened the academy, we have trained over 20,000 law enforcement professionals in the area. And I think that's huge to say, and just mind-boggling that we've trained that many people over the past 40 years.
20,000.
20,000.
Congratulations,
Ed. I feel older now. I came in at 75. I guess I feel older now.
No, that's a terrific number, and to know just that you're training them the way you are. Both of you have to feel proud of just the law enforcement and the kind of training that they're receiving. And they're also receiving, besides the people who come in, I guess there's refresher kind of training that takes place.
Well, sure. Just like any other profession, you know, doctors, lawyers, they all have to get continuing education. It's the same in law enforcement. So a law enforcement officer currently has to get 40 hours of continuing education every other year. So we put on a lot of training just for that. Like this week, we have a field training officer school in session. So these officers learn how to enhance the training. Once they leave basic, they go to their field training officer. And so this is where those guys get trained and how to further educate our rookie officers once they get out of the basic school.
As far as looking ahead for a dream, I guess there's not a firing range over there, is there?
There is
probably,
not.
I'm sure that's one of the things you'd like.
Yes, absolutely. Right now we use one of the Department of Corrections. They have a work camp in Stafford, and they have a firearms range there. And they're very generous. They loan us out the range whenever we need it. And occasionally we can use Stafford's range or Spotsylvania's range. But it really would be nice if we had a location and an area where we had the academy range, where we didn't have to worry about stepping on somebody else's toes.
Yeah.
or that kind of thing. And so that would be the biggest piece of infrastructure that I would like to see put in place before too long.
We thought about a range at the when we bought the extra acreage where the academy is now, between the Shannon Airport and the railroad line behind us.
Mm-hmm.
With some hazmat stuff periodically. We were told definitely will not be a firing range here, period. So we just had to kind of move on.
Anything else on the horizon, or anything new that you're looking at over in your your facility that you can talk about?
Well, you know, one of the big changes that we're having for 2019 is a huge curriculum change. So up until this point, we've had several different basic classes, and our two biggest courses of instruction are law enforcement basic, which are obviously training the folks who you see out in the police cars.
Yeah.
But our other big basic class is our jail basic class. You know, they're behind the scenes. People don't routinely think about them, but they are just as vital to our law enforcement mission as the guys who are out and about on the street. And up until this point, those classes have been completely separate. Starting in January, with our classes coming in, we're going to combine the classes for the first 5 weeks because there's a lot of material that we duplicate in both classes. So for the first 5 weeks, they're going to get all of their legal training together. They're going to get their history of the criminal justice system. They're going to get their professionalism. ethics, bias, all of those classes that have similar topics are all going to be combined to do a couple of things, really. One, to bring our jail folks and our road folks together to kind of get rid of that disconnect, because there's always has been historically a disconnect between law enforcement and jail. And putting them in a class together where they have to work together, have to move through things together, is really going to, I think, help bring our profession even tighter together. And I think, selfishly, it will help me, because now instead of having to get two instructors to teach the same block of instruction, I just need one.
But it makes sense, too, like
absolutely.
You say, just as far as working together.
Right.
It makes total sense. The Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy, 40 years old. That's what we're talking about this morning. The first director, Ed Evers, here. Mike Harvey, the current director, is here. And there is a block party this Saturday, 9 to 1. We're going to jump into that and talk about that when we wrap this up on News Talk 1230 WFVA Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We'll be right back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Mike Harvey and Ed Evers here this morning. Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy celebrating 40 years. We're going to have to do this again. I mean, I just feel like there's still things we haven't talked about. This is just really interesting history. Mike, this this Saturday over at the Academy, to give you, you're across from the Bowman Center.
Yes.
And near the right next to the food bank and the Lee Hill Industrial Park.
Correct. We're right in front of the food bank. So, you know, this Saturday, it looks like it's going to be great weather. 12:30 has assured me that there's going to be nice fall weather, no rain that morning.
That's right.
So come out. We'll be open from 9 to 1. The biggest thing that you'll see when you come out is a lot of your community members will be out there. We'll either have yard sale tables set up. We have a lot of small local businesses, which is great, coming out to set up and show community what they do and hawk some of their wares. But then we'll also have a community blood drive. Virginia Blood Services will have their mobile truck there if you want to give some blood, which is always an important thing to do. And we'll have the academy open. You can come in and see what the use of force simulator is all about, see what the driving simulator is all about. We'll have the DUI goggles on, which folks can come out, put the DUI goggles on, and it simulates what it's like to have a certain blood alcohol concentration. And then we'll put them through a set of skills, like throwing a ball into a bucket. It seems easy when we don't have the goggles on, but then we put the goggles on, and they can't quite find where the bucket is. So it's really good and a fun way to show people what it's like when you're intoxicated and why it is so dangerous to drink and drive. So it's going to be a really good event, and I hope folks can come out for it.
It's a chance to see everything up close. And I always tell people, this is like, you know, you a lot of times you'll take your kids to the fire station to see the fire trucks up close. Same thing with law enforcement. And you really do get the simulators are just fascinating.
Right.
For any age.
And this is a way for the community to come in and see what it is really like for a law enforcement officer to go through training. You know, it's not like what you see on TV shows or, you know, even the real life shows like Cops or Live PD, I think, is a new one now.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like that. You know, Cops will ride around for 3 weeks in order to get a 30-minute show, and sometimes even longer than that. So it's not all about the foot chases and the car chases and the bank robberies. In fact, those are very rare and far between. Most of the time, an officer is spent doing community relations, really. You know, even if it's pulling somebody over for going a little bit too fast, it's all about community relations and how to keep our community safe and work with our community members in order to keep us safe.
When I had the academy, the movie, you know, Police Academy, was popular, each one of the segments. So I was fighting off some of the stereotypes that they had in those.
Bet.
Just to say, we're really serious. And we really are. And Mike hit it right on the head. We need to work very closely with the community. And a lot of the technology that that Mike has brought in certainly takes it to the next level. He's done a good job with that.
Well, it is. It's a chance to see up close how everyone is trained and to see that it's real stuff. And sometimes the training, it's like going to school, like you say. I mean, some days going to schools and all, you just plow through. But there's exciting times. There's the things you have to do. But boy, a lot of good work over the years at that particular place, Ed. And like you mentioned, some of the other places you've been in, a great history with this academy.
It's very rewarding to see the officers come in on the first day. Coming out of the, I don't want to make fun of farmers or just youngsters coming in to start their career. You watch them on day one. And then at the end of, whether it's 16, 18, or 20 weeks, watch them going through the graduation and see the transformation that's taken place over these weeks. Really gets you choked up. And it's welcome to the family.
Yeah. I'm sure you experience that with every class now, Mike.
Oh, we really do. You know, you see that difference. You talk about joining the family of law enforcement, but you really see that on graduation day when they walk across that stage. And we talk about the family. We talk about bringing in their loved ones into our family and into the communities. It is a very rewarding place to be, and I'm very honored to be here and to be following in Ed's footsteps.
Ed, thank you for what you have done.
Thank you.
This community owes you a great deal of gratitude and thanks because you have really set the standard,
and
it continues on.
I was just a small part of it.
I'm sure you have officers all the time come up to you and remember as you were like the superintendent in school.
Yes, the principal.
The principal.
If you had to get called to the principal's office, it was not good.
Saturday from 9 to 1, it's over at the Rappahannock Regional Criminal Justice Academy, the anniversary block party. Like you said, you can see things. There's a yard sale. Lots going on, Mike, and hopefully the community will come out and see some things that you might not know exist.
Absolutely, yeah. Please come out, you know, rain or shine. If it's raining, we'll be inside. So it'll be a good day.
Mike Harvey, Ed Evers, thank you so much. We will do this again. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is it for Town Talk. We will see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. The financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.